Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Happy Inauguration Day, everybody. Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with Daniel Foster, in for Jim Garrity today. I don't know if Jim just didn't want to deal with today, Dan, but I can't blame him if that is why he's not here today.
I wouldn't blame him. Hopefully he got started early down at the bar.
Absolutely right. Nonetheless, we are here to provide a valuable service to all of our beloved listeners. And so we have good, yes, even good, bad, and crazy from the inauguration today. And since we need any scrap of good information today, here's the good. Dan, they annoy the heck out of us during the campaign, but, you know, some of these celebrities actually are talented. And Beyonce did a great job with the national anthem. The Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir was good. James Taylor was not bad. Kelly Clarkson, who's not even an Obama supporter, did a good job. So these people who won't stop yapping about politics when we really wish they would, when they actually show up and sing in an event like this, pretty good.
Yeah, it was nice. And, as we were talking about before we went on air, Kelly Clarkson is actually, I believe, a Ron Paul supporter who is also a proud gun owner. So it was very magnanimous of her to agree to perform at the inauguration. I'd say anyone who's a fellow press hack, a political hack, and I don't know how many of them there are listening to this, but the inauguration committee was good for about 40, maybe 50 email press releases a day for the last 3 months. Filled all of our inboxes. Anyone who works in this business will tell you that's true. My favorite line from any of them, though, had to be, among the performers at the inaugural will be Beyonce Knowles, who is sometimes known by her stage name, Beyonce.
Oh, that Beyonce.
I thought that was really funny. Yeah, no, it was good entertainment. And, you know, it's not as much as I'm a bitter-hearted conservative today, you love the peaceful transfer of power, the American tradition. It's a great day for American democracy. I just wish, you know, I get the feeling that a lot of people, especially the liberals on my Twitter feed, are, you know, proud to be an American because my guy won. And, yeah. you wish there were a little bit less of that. But look, you know, I'm sure they would be sharing a lot of the same emotions I'm feeling today if it were President Romney being inaugurated. So I won't give him too much crap.
Obviously, you do celebrate some of the traditions and the things that make America great. And obviously, the peaceful transition of power, in this case, the peaceful continuation of power, is one of them. We just wish American democracy had gotten it right in November instead of getting it wrong. But on to the bad martini now, and there's a lot we could have chosen here. Dan, I don't ever remember an inaugural MC, which is what Chuck Schumer was today, gobbling up more airtime than he did today. Usually it's just, hey, welcome to the inauguration. First up is, you know, the person giving the invocation, then you just get the program rolling. But no, he pretty much snagged as much airtime as humanly possible. I think they still managed to stay on time, though. But there were worse things than that. And, of course, this was at the top of the list.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute
the
office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
Unfortunately, we knew that was going to happen, and unfortunately, we also knew this was going to happen. President Obama somehow linking the founding principles of our nation with his pet political projects.
Some may still deny the overwhelming judgment of science, but none can avoid the devastating impact of raging fires and crippling drought and more powerful storms. The path towards sustainable energy sources will be long and sometimes difficult. But America cannot resist this transition. We must lead it.
So the American founding was to lead us towards climate change, gay marriage. Somehow we still don't have people paying their fair share, even though we got the fiscal cliff thing, Dan. So get ready, America. Four more years of the same demagoguery.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal. The early take, you know, I'm seeing from pundits is basically right. The consensus is, you know, this is obviously the speech of a liberal, of somebody who's to a certain extent coming out as a liberal because he doesn't have to worry about re-election. It was disappointing but not surprising in that respect. The part that really offended me about that climate change bit was when he suggested that it would be irresponsible to leave climate change undealt with, irresponsible to future generations, and somehow reckless for our children. You know, this is a guy who's presided over now about to be a $17 trillion debt. A lot of us can do math, even though trillions are big numbers. Everyone can do arithmetic, and we can all understand that $17 trillion in debt is irresponsible to leave to our children. Now, 100-year climate models constructed by dubious characters at Penn State University strikes me as a little less rock solid than $17 trillion in debt. But somehow the president thinks that not dealing with that in some really expensive, heavy-handed, centrally planned way is more irresponsible to future generations than dealing with the national debt and failing to deal with the national debt. So that was what disappointed me most about that bit.
Dan, it's time for America to come together, though. Why can't we just come together around his agenda?
It's a good question. And so Ezra Klein, who had a good line on this, he said that the first inaugural was about moving America past old arguments, and the second inaugural was about winning old arguments. So I think that's right.
Well, as annoying as that may have been, or at least as depressing as that may have been, there's always somebody at these inaugurations, particularly when it's a Democratic inauguration, that just makes you scratch your head. And, you know, I almost blame JFK for this, for bringing in an actually good poet, Robert Frost, for the first time at an inauguration. That kind of devolved into whatever Maya Angelou was saying at the first Clinton inaugural. And now we got this from this guy, Richard Blanco, at the Obama inauguration today.
Breathe. Hear it through the day's gorgeous din of honking cabs, buses launching down avenues, the symphony of footsteps, guitars and screeching subways, the unexpected songbird on your clothesline.
Is that how your morning commute goes, Dan?
Pretty much, you know, that poem reminded me of nothing so much as sophomore year of college when I think I heard it about 40 times as a young English major. I'm an artsy fartsy type. I've written a poem or two in my day as a young, tender-hearted undergraduate. I came into it with an open mind, but I didn't think much of it. It was cheesy. It was kind of aimless. It was really kind of exploitive and on the nose with the Newtown stuff, which really just kind of made me uncomfortable. And I didn't get the broader point of that besides, to just remind us all of a terrible tragedy on a day that's supposed to be celebratory. So, you know, I can't remember the last good, memorable one. It feels like every year we talk about it for 15 minutes and then thankfully, every inauguration we talk about it for 15 minutes and then thankfully these poems are consigned to the back pages of history. So I'll leave Mr. Blanco alone at this point.
Well, Dan, we made it through the worst part of today. Hopefully this was the worst part of the day. And we'll talk to you later. Only 4 years until we hopefully inaugurate a much better president.
Here's hoping.
Yeah, hope springs eternal. Dan Foster of National Review Online in for Jim Garrity today. Jim should be back on Tuesday. I'm Greg Karembas of Radio America. Please join us on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.